Parkcast, the UK's original theme park podcast.
Welcome back to Parkcast Park Fans. We are a podcast for theme park fans. I'm Bex, this is Kev.
Hi everyone.
And we like to chat about all the goings on, especially in the UK theme park industry. We chat to some interesting people as well, and we'll be doing a lot more of that in some future episodes. Today though, we're going to be chatting about what we think is possibly the UK's most underrated park. Not because not many people go to it, but it's a park that we thought might not survive a few years ago, and it's kind of been like the comeback queen. It's had a great 2024 season, so I thought it'd be quite interesting to have a bit of a chat about that. Before we get into it though, weirdly, even though it's the end of the season, it seems like loads of stuff has happened this week and loads of like news has come to our attention.
So I thought it's good.
Yeah.
As in good that we've got something to talk about.
Yeah, usually it's like end of the season, all right, nothing, we're not going to hear anything now for a good few months. But there's been a few things which I thought were quite interesting this week. The big one being there are swirling, huge, gigantic rumours which have grown and grown and grown and grown that King Dakar is going to close this weekend.
Yeah.
No one really knows where these rumours came from. They just kind of start, as we do as enthusiasts, you know, we're online, we're all having our little chats and our thoughts. And somewhere out of nowhere came this rumour that King Dakar at Six Flags Great Adventure was closing this season. It was been and gone, and they were just going to dismantle it and get rid of it.
And a rumour is a rumour until proved otherwise, isn't it? So
yeah,
a lot of it is speculation.
I mean, there's talk about there's being some like markers around the area, back, like they might be putting something else in there. No one really knows, but the rumor is this weekend, it's its last weekend. If you want to get on King Dakar, go and ride it now. It will be interesting this time next week to see what actually happened and what's come out of that, and if we've got any more clarity on what's actually happening. Because, of course, if King Dakar goes, Drop of Doom also goes, which, you know, would be a shame.
I know. You would not be a big
fan of drop towers.
I know, exactly. You'd be like, oh, well, never mind. It's funny because I know that like it's happened before in our like parks in the UK. Anytime there's a bit of spray paint on a tree or on the ground, like, it's like a circle, everyone goes crazy. Because everyone's thinking, this is where the support's going for something new.
It's probably not. A tree surgeon's like, that branch needs removing. It looks a bit diseased.
Exactly. And it's one of those things, isn't it, where you can't help but be like, until they've, you know, announced something, it's hard to really know. But we know that there have been issues with Stratacoasters and these launches and maintenance and maintaining them, the cost, because these rides are over 20 years old, you know, some of them. And it's getting to the point now, I guess, where what do you do? It's like a lot of old roller coasters, you know, where parks go, well, it's costing more to maintain it.
Yeah.
So is it better to invest in something else?
And technology's moved on and yeah, interesting. I'm quite like, I'm in anticipation of what we're going to hear this weekend from over that side of the pond. It'll be definitely one to follow. And I think we are planning to do an episode about Stratacoasters and if they've kind of had their day, if this technology's been and gone. So therefore, you know, parks and manufacturers are just going to try and do something else rather than these great big top hats. And then it's kind of like, well, that's it. That's the end of the ride. We are going to do an episode on that in the future. So have a listen for that one. And we will come back to you next week. Yeah. We'll see what happened with King Dakar. Another bit of news, which it's sadly now too late for this offer, but I thought it was interesting because a couple of weeks ago we had a chat about Blackpool Pleasure Beach. If you haven't listened to that episode, we basically did a whole episode talking about whether it was time for the park to bring back free entry, so like non-riders can just go around the park, and whether that would help them turn the park around a bit. It's not had a great season in terms of footfall, like the park seems quite quiet. Would that help them by getting people back into the park? We had quite a big, long, healthy discussion on that. I think we both kind of concluded that why not give it a try? What's the worst that can happen?
Yeah.
And last week they announced that they were going to almost do just that. They were bringing back for 2025 a non-rider annual pass, which is great. It was going to cost you £50. So not quite free, but...
But that's not too bad for a whole year if you're going and you're not wanting to go on rides.
It's better than paying, you know, 200 quid or whatever they wanted for the actual annual pass. So yeah, I thought that sounds quite good. You got some discounts on food and drink and stuff as well. So for your money, you did actually get something. I thought this is
Yeah.
interesting. This is great that Blackpool are doing this. You now can't buy it. It was like it was available for 7 days only or something like that. And I was
Oh,
like, no,
Blackpool.
removed from sale. I don't know why they've done that because I feel like it didn't even get chance to get legs and get the word out that this was
No,
a
I
thing.
didn't even hear about it, to be fair, until
No.
we started discussing it
Yeah, and we're in this kind of world where
recently.
we look out for this stuff, and it just seems like by the time someone thought, oh, that might be a nice thing to get actually, or that could be, something that I'll look into next year, you now can't get it anymore. So I would like to see them bring it back at the start of the 2025 season as just an option when people are looking at park tickets. Like, yeah, there you can also buy one of these. I don't know why they wouldn't do that. And obviously, a bit of sad news in the UK park industry this week, when Flambards, which was down in Cornwall, they announced they were going to close with immediate effect. It wasn't even, yeah, the end of the season we're going. It was just like, yeah, we're not opening today, and that's it. We're kind of done. And it was
Yeah, it's sad.
family run, really small little park down in deepest, darkest Cornwall.
Yeah.
But it's something we've talked about, how parks are going to compete in this climate, and if something like Universal UK happens, what the knock-on effect is going to be on not just the even small parks, on big parks as well.
Absolutely. And there's, Robin Hill closed on the Isle of Wight
Yeah.
last year. It's sad when you see parks close, particularly if you are someone who, well, works there, for people's jobs and
Yeah.
stuff. That's
Yeah.
always heartbreaking to lose, to lose your job. And but it's always difficult, isn't it? When you are in a certain part of the country that's quite difficult to get to, you're only really going to visit it on holiday. Same with Creeley in Devon.
Yeah.
So I've been to Creeley numerous times, but it's not a part I go to unless we're staying in that part of the world. Poulton's is one that you're probably going to drive to actually go
Bit
visit.
more accessible,
It's
isn't it?
worth the drive.
Yeah, you've got main roads which will take you to Poulton's, whereas once you start going, beyond kind of Exeter and you're on those roads and it's like there's no dual carriage, and I can say that I live in Lincolnshire, we have no dual carriageways here. Everything just takes 10 times as long to get anywhere, and you've got kids in the car and they're moaning at you and it starts to sound like a bad idea. So, and obviously, it's challenging trading conditions for not just parks for the UK at the moment. Everything's costing more and people have got less disposable income to spend. And unfortunately, I think we are going to see, more news like this. And it's sad, but it does bring us on quite nicely to our topic of discussion for today, which is Drayton Manor Resort now, which is a park that we both thought might not survive a few years ago, and it's doing amazing stuff. So we kind of thought we'd ask today, is Drayton Manor the most underrated park in the UK?
Podcast.
Let's go right back to kind of the start and the beginnings and what we knew about Drayton Manor when we were kind of growing up and what we thought about it. So I think for me, Drayton Manor kind of got put on the map in 1994 because it was suddenly thrust into the limelight when Alton Towers were building Nemesis, Blackpool were building the big one. And then it was like, oh, cool, two new roller coasters. And Drayton Manor would kind of put their hands up and going, oh, hey guys, we're building one as well. And you were like, who's this park? Who are these guys? And they were like, yeah, we're building a stand-up roller coaster. And at the time, that was like, whoa, that's actually pretty cool. Like a stand-up roller coaster, it wasn't a thing. None of us had ridden one, so we didn't realize that they were terrible to ride. And it sounded really cool. And it was like, this is awesome. And 1994, if you were an enthusiast or you were starting to be an enthusiast, it was the year where your roller coaster enthusiasm ramped up because you were like, wow, this is so cool. There's an inverted coaster. We didn't even know it was called an inverted coaster at the time. There's Nemesis. It's open on Towers. We've got the world's tallest roller coaster opening. And we've got this little park, which is doing a stand-up roller coaster as well. It was a really, really exciting time. And I think that before then, Drayton Manor had existed, obviously, as like a little family theme, a bit like, a Flambards or a Creeley or whatever. It was around, but that put it on the map and people started really taking it seriously. And
See, we visited Drayton Manor, even into the 80s, but that's because of the location. So we went to Drayton Manor because it was close, you know, grew up in Derby, so it was not that, you know, far from us. Same with Alton Towers, really. It's, you're very close. We had American Adventure as well. We were very, you know, from even then in the 80s, before 94, I think there was investment at Drayton Manor, and we had these parks like American Adventure towards the end of the 80s that were investing heavily in, you know, building up their reputation. Alton Towers was still an amusement park, really, at this point. You know, it still had a few things, but it wasn't really themed at Alton Towers. You know, it wasn't until John Worley stepped in and in 92, and we got Runaway Mine Train and the Haunted House, and then obviously Nemesis came in. But Drayton Manor had a few other attractions that were very heavily themed, taking influence from Disney, because I know the Bryan family had been to Walt Disney World and taken inspiration from Jungle Cruise and Pirates of the Caribbean. So then we had a Jungle Cruise. I guess they couldn't think of another name to call it. Just let's just take that one. It's not copyrighted, so it's okay. And then obviously Pirate Adventure was in 1990. So we have this kind of influx of these parks really trying to compete with one another, who's building the, you know, newest and what's going to attract attention. And I think that's kind of what they did with Pirate Adventure in 1990, because there had been nothing like it in the UK. It was a really heavily themed dark ride with animatronics and, you know, very immersive. And it was something else that was pre-Shockwave that I think brought attention to Drayton Manor. And, you know, I remember going on the Jungle Cruise as a kid and being wowed by it. And obviously, having not been to a Disney park, you don't see the comparison. Same with Pirate Adventure. It was, you know, it was terrifying at first because I was 5 years old and it's like, what's going on? But, you know, even being to other parks, there was nothing like it. So growing up to see these parks competing and trying to put in these new things, you know, was always impressive. And, you know, one of the reasons I think why we kept going back as a family.
Obviously, like you so you say you had Pirate Adventure, Shockwave went in, and then after that we had quite a few years of quite a lot of investment, I'd say. So obviously you're a big dark ride fan, the Haunting went in, like the Vekoma Madhouse,
Yeah, it
the
was the
Vekoma.
second one after Villa Volta.
Yeah, so like in the UK we hadn't, Hex wasn't a thing then.
Nope.
It was like, well, this is cool, this is different, and really heavily themed as well, a good like immersive queue line. It was a really far cry from what other parks apart from Alton Towers were doing at the
Yeah,
time.
something new, because at Drayton Manor, the only kind of ghost room they had was the crypt, if anyone remembers the crypt, you know, where the one of the Thomas Land play areas currently is. And that was their only ghost train. And it was the same thing. It was like, right, well, we need to do something. We want a haunted attraction that can kind of compete with these other ones. But we've got something new. There's this new Vekoma Madhouse that's just opened in Holland at Efteling. Let's build one in the UK. I think that was always the thing with our UK parks, was everyone's trying to compete with, this is the newest, look at our new vertical drop roller coaster, or, you know, this is new for this year that's never seen before. And I think that's what Drayton Manor, they were trying to compete with Alton Towers. Obviously, they were a family run business, family
That's the
run
crazy
park,
thing, isn't
so
it?
it was just them trying to compete. They weren't part of Two Swords, where Two Swords were going, well, we're investing in this at Alton Towers, we're doing this at Chessington, and so forth. You know, so the Bryan family certainly should take a lot of credit what they were doing to that park and how they were getting people's attention, and also still putting a lot of love and care into it as well.
And talk about getting attention. Obviously, when Apocalypse went in, you couldn't miss that. And
No.
still, like any enthusiast who likes drop towers, I'm just going to remove myself from that equation just because I don't
Oh.
like drop towers. But it's
Missing out.
oh, well, oh, I went on it. I went
Oh,
on it.
did you still put you
There's a
off? Now, were
reason
you
I don't like
standing or
drop towers.
sitting? This is the
Yeah,
question.
all of the above. The first time I ever went on it, I did it standing, and I think
Okay, that
that's where I went
probably
wrong.
wasn't the best move.
Yeah, it was as you're kind of going up and as it tilted you forwards, I had that like intrusive thought of what if this restraint opens?
This was the thing with Apocalypse, is that you see it from quite far away, but it doesn't look that high. But my gosh, when you're on it and it pushes you forwards,
You can pretty
it's
much see Oblivion like in the distance over
yeah,
the
you can
Staffordshire
see
Hills.
towers from that far. Yeah.
it wasn't the tallest drop tower in the world, but in terms of a force, like I said, I've not been on any since because I just can't. But I know, like at PortAventura, the drop tower there is much taller. But Nick, my husband, would say, well, it's nowhere near got the force of Apocalypse.
Oh,
just nothing
it really
had that gut pulling.
Mm-hmm. Took your
drag.
Breath away. It was, I think we did mention this in a previous podcast, but I was really sad that it went. I know why, because, you know, their vision now is very much family focused and it doesn't fit with that focus. But yeah, it will always be
it
remembered, I think, as one of the best, you know, drop towers out there because of the force. Can you remember which band opened Apocalypse?
Yes, I can, because I'm a 90s millennial pop.
I thought you might.
Yeah, B-I-T-C-H. It was it was Bewitched, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
I genuinely asked me which pop band opened like any roller coaster, and I'll probably be able to tell you. Who opened the big one?
Okay, we're going 94, aren't we? So, do you know what? I don't know, actually.
Should I tell you? This is great in a pub quiz.
Not Boyzone or something.
Oh,
is it?
You're close.
Okay. Take That?
No, not as big as Take That. I don't think they could afford Take That.
It was Bad Boys Inc.
I never even heard of them. I never even heard
of them. Wow. Yeah, I'm going to send you a Spotify link after this podcast. And
But the reason I mentioned it was because a lot of the way that Drayton Manor did their openings was with, you know, famous bands and celebrities. I'm sure there's a picture of Steps on Stormforce 10.
Who opened G-Force?
It was the boy band G-Force.
Yes.
Opened G-Force. I got that all mixed up then. Not that anyone who's maybe listening to this podcast might ever remember who G4 were.
They
really, really tried to do that, didn't they? With, you know, famous celebrities and bands, you know, that were part of that kind of pop culture at the time, you know, to get the attention, to get people's focus on Drayton.
Just talking about Stormforce 10, you know, I think definitely worth a mention in terms of water rides in this country. It's not Valhalla, but again, it put in the backwards drop before Valhalla, and we hadn't seen that. And actually, as a themed attraction, it was really heavily themed. You know, it is really heavily themed when you go around, and they really thought about this whole lifeboat station thing.
It was one of the best themed rides, or one of the best themed water rides, definitely. And it happened quite a bit, I always found, with Drayton Manor, is there, you know, certain rides that you went on that you almost felt, this doesn't feel like it belongs here.
Yeah.
But I'm really glad it is.
Yeah.
and it was when, like, Pirate Adventure opened and The Haunting opened and obviously Stormforce 10, because Apocalypse never really had amazing theming because it didn't almost need it, because it was almost like you're just going to go on it for the sheer thrill of the drop tower. It didn't need to be themed. Whereas Stormforce 10 worked really well, and it was, you know, so much detail in that queue that you know that you could spend a long time walking through the queue and slowing yourself down just to kind of, you know, look at everything. So,
and then of course they put in a Maelstrom next to it, which just then added into that whole watery themed area. And Maelstrom as well, in terms of flat rides, you know, in this country, give me a better flat ride than Maelstrom, because I'll fight you for it. Like, I think it's amazing. It's such a good flat
I can't think
ride.
One off the top of my head, no. not off the top of my head. I'm surprised, because that goes pretty high.
I love Maelstrom.
You confuse me sometimes, you do. With your, I don't do drop towers, but I'll sit on this literal huge gyro swing.
You know, do you know what it is?
That literally flings you into the air. Goodness knows how fast.
I've thought about this a lot in my life. Like, why do I like certain things and why do I not? And I think I don't like drop towers for the same reason I don't like haunted dark rides. And it's the not knowing when something's about to happen. So if I was doing a drop ride and I knew I was going straight up and straight down, I think I'd be okay. But I don't like a drop ride like Apocalypse. I didn't like being up there, not knowing at what point I was going to fall. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't like an S&S shop tower, because I'm sat there.
Yeah,
not knowing at what point it's going to find. I don't like the element of surprise. I think that's the problem. Whereas Maelstrom is a lovely day out. You know, it's
I find it very relaxing.
I'll sit on that all day. Love it.
I'm really pleased they've kept it, because I think that you know, we're talking about removing certain rides to kind of fit that criteria that they want to focus on. I think they're obviously aware that, you know, Maelstrom is is definitely one of the best flat rides in the UK. And there are certain rides like Pandemonium that they obviously decided to get rid of.
Yeah.
And
We're not sad about that, are we? We don't
yeah,
miss Pandemonium.
anything that, yeah, no. There might be people out there that does, you know, there's probably people who love
Sadists,
flat
people who
rides,
love being
who love
tortured
that ride,
in an
that
overhead
sort of ring.
restraint. Yeah.
It's the same reason I didn't like Submission on Towers, because that idea
Yeah.
of being held upside down is
Yeah.
just painful. And
Yeah.
anything that kind of swings round and stops upside down and get, yeah, not for me. But I'm glad they've kept it. I'm glad, because it, again, it fits in that theme of Adventure Cove. It fits in that whole themed area. Yeah,
I
I'm
would
pleased it's
cry
still there.
if Maelstrom went, unless they wanted to sell it to another park. But yeah, no, please don't. Drayton Manor, if you're listening, just keep Maelstrom, just for
Yeah,
me.
keep it.
And just talking about other sort of high points in its history up until 2020 when it got bought out, you know, when it was still family run. Let's not forget that they got Thomas Land installed when it was still a family run park. And, you know, to get that kind of IP, I think
Yeah.
it was amazing. And again, another thing which really helped their fortunes at the time, because it got people talking about it, a whole different audience. Obviously, I think it also didn't help with where is the park going. That's it
Yeah.
sort of began to get a bit confused, because you had Shockwave and Apocalypse, and then you had Drake, you know, Thomas Land was very, very heavily family themed.
I think it's saving grace.
Yeah.
I think, you know, obviously we might touch on this in a bit, but I feel like CBeebies Land did something similar on Towers, you
I
know.
would argue Thomas Land is better than CBeebies Land, as a parent of
I'll
a
agree.
preschooler.
I'll agree. I mean, CBeebies Land's different because everything feels a bit more spread out, so it's a bit more, you know, you can walk around. There's a ride over there. This, but actually, I think Thomas Land is good because of the amount of different attractions you can do. There's a lot more that you can do, and there's a few that are slightly more thrill heavy. When I say thrill, obviously, you know, family thrill. You've got Troublesome Trucks, which is like your coaster. You've got your little drop towers. You've got a few other rides that kind of for those that are slightly older, which CBeebies Land doesn't really have that.
Yeah.
Whereas at Thomas Land, you've got a nice mix. So if you've got a 3-year-old, you're going to go on certain things. If you've got a 5, 6-year-old, they're probably going to try the more, you know, the slightly bigger attractions.
I think
Yeah.
as a land as well, it's better theme, it's more immersive. Like you do feel like you're on the Isle of Sodor a bit more than you do
Yeah.
it and this in CBeebies Land, which, you know, it's showing its age anyway. But also, it's never had that feeling that I don't think that you've stepped into a real CBeebies world. You've got a lot of well-themed rides in it, but it doesn't have that same Thomas Land. You walk through those arches at the front and you do feel like you're in a
You feel
completely
in it.
different part of the
You feel
park.
like a part of the world that you've watched or read the books, and
Yeah.
you know, and it's a part of that world. And I love they incorporated the train system into Thomas Land as well. You know, so
Yeah,
you've got
to take you to the other side. Yeah.
near where the zoo is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, the dinosaur land bit, isn't it? So you've got that kind of transportation bit that I like when you're in that other side and you get on the train, you go into Thomas Land like you're arriving in. So
Yeah.
all that is, you know, is good, and it kind of incorporates all of these, you know, different things.
And if you are 3, 4, 5 years old, you know, talked earlier about how Pirate Adventure was amazing for you as a 5-year-old. So then, you know, put yourself in a 5-year-old's shoes walking into Thomas Land. It's amazing for them. You know, it's crazy. So I think that was sort of some of the high points prior to them being taken over. There was obviously a lot of low points as well. We talked about Pirate Adventure, so obviously for you that was a low point when that closed and they started, you know, wheeling pirates out of the park. You saw them
Selling
wave them
them,
off on a
having
lorry.
to sell them, sell all the bits and pieces.
Why do you think that ride closed?
I think, unfortunately, like a lot of rides that we've seen close, is neglect and cost. And you know, these water rides, we talked about it with the river caves, didn't we, on the Blackpool episode. You know, as these rides age, if they're not well maintained, the ride system is going to wear out over time. The amount of water that's required, you know, does damage things, you know. The animatronics will need replacing. And in the early 90s, I'd never been to a Disney park, so for me it was the closest thing to seeing that. However, once you've been to Disneyland, you've been to Disneyland Paris, you know, or you've been to Florida or anywhere else in the world, and you've been on a pirate's ride, all of a sudden the comparison is there. And you know, there was an issue with the roof, so the building was condemned as well. So there were so many things that were connected where, again, it's cost. You can't, if there's, you know, if you're trying to balance the books, you're looking at, we want to keep people coming by putting new rides in, and then it you know, unfortunately things get neglected. And I think the sad thing with Pirate Adventure, it was just closed, but nothing was done with it. You can't help but walk down that bit and notice it and think, that's a bit odd. That doesn't look right. That looks like that's fallen. That shouldn't be there. Why is that there? If you didn't know that that ride existed. So I think, yeah, I think unfortunately it's sad, because it's what Disney do well is they've got a classic attraction that is, you know, 50 years old. But it still looks brand new because their focus on is, you know, we keep on maintaining it. You know, we replace this, do this to it, you know, and we keep it going. And unfortunately, that didn't happen with Pirate Adventure. And it is funny when you go onto YouTube and you can obviously watch, you know, a lot of these old rides now when people's home footage of it. And you can't help but look and thinking, oh man, it didn't look good at a certain point. Yeah, when things weren't working. Actually, I, you know, whoever worked, if you worked on that ride, my goodness, it must have been really creepy. If you had to work and maintain that and do maintenance on it, terrifying. But my hope is that, you know, either it gets something brand new, and the way it's going, you know, the way that the park looks at the minute, you know, is really good. So I'm positive that they won't just be neglecting it. I'm positive that the focus has been on, you know, Frontier Falls and Gold Rush this year, and you know, the and all the other things they've been working on. You know, I'm positive that we'll get something new and shiny in that area.
Didn't you say that that you spotted some boats still sort of hanging around there, left over from the ride or?
Yeah, there'll be, someone can correct me, but I think they're around the back of the hotel.
Just waiting to be relaunched, refloated.
So they're, you know, they're currently sat by the hotel, hidden away, you know, but obviously we know that because we've seen them. So really hoping, and it's similar with Excalibur and the Jungle Cruise that was,
Yes,
you know,
yeah,
next
exactly.
door.
So we talked about obviously Jungle Cruise and then Excalibur was their sort of revamp of it using mostly the ride system that was there, but retheming it to like a Merlin, not Merlin attractions, but a
Yeah,
Merlin
but that
attraction.
medieval knights and, you know, Merlin and Round Table sort of stuff. Again, was weird because it just was another random theme, just kind of put there, with not really much thought. I mean, it was an improvement on the Jungle Cruise because, again, it was another water ride that was struggled to be maintained. And, you know, you'd go for a time where nothing would come out of the water and you're just floating around going, looking around going, is there anything happening? You know, the days of the crocodiles and the hippos would come out of the water was gone. So, you know, I appreciated the theme. And it just felt a bit odd. But again, it was another ride that had to kind of close, just sat there.
I think with the Excalibur, from what
No.
I remember, it actually cost them like millions as well to revamp that. I remember them advertising that it was open. It's like, okay, cool. They've spent millions of pounds on this ride. And then you went on it. And like you said, there was all these dead areas where it was just very slow. It was like if you've ever been on that boat ride at Efteling, which just takes like 45 minutes to kind of go around some ducks. It felt a bit like that, but with some dragon, fiberglass stuff. And it just felt very slow and quite uninteresting, and they'd clearly spent a lot of money, whether because it was, like you say, a water ride, which just required
But
that
it
level investment.
has a huge, like, for the actual the ride area that it covered was huge. So again, it's that you're maintaining, like any indoor dark ride, like Pirate Adventure did. You know, there's a lot. It's very complex. It's a complex thing. Any dark ride is a complex thing because you're working with, you know, so many different components because you're working with a ride system, lighting, sound, animatronics, things that move when they should be timed. You know, there are so many components that are needed for it to work and work well. And as soon as a few things start failing, if it's not replaced, then the whole thing just it just falls apart. Like
It didn't
anything.
last that long, did it? really, like considering the money that was spent on it,
No.
it very quickly failed, and you know the mechanical stuff started
But it's
going
not
wrong
just
with
at
it.
Drayton. You know, we see other parks with Darren Brown's Ghost Train. I mean, the amount of time that they've spent trying to fix what they invested in is even more money going into something, you know, at Thorpe Park, trying to fix the Ghost Train there. Whereas I guess what Drayton Manor were trying to do with it's just like, well, we just can't afford to keep it running, so it's going to have to close, sadly.
And obviously that is a big investment, which when you are family run and family owned, you spent all those millions of pounds. I don't see how they could possibly have got a return on investment from
No,
that project,
no.
which, you know, you can't afford to lose millions of pounds when you are family run. As we got into the late 2000s, you know, stuff started declining in that we
It was
didn't see
within the
investment.
2010s, I think,
You
we,
saw Thomas
you
Land and
know.
stuff, but you didn't see any big stuff that was working. It's like they kept trying
No.
stuff and it wasn't working, so they put in G-Force because obviously they had this little footprint, which was the Klondike mine train, which
Oh, we
I
didn't talk
like
about that.
we didn't talk.
The amount of people who used to think that's a rip-off of the Indiana Jones Temple of Peril at Disneyland Paris is like, no. The gone like mines that was there way before Disneyland put that in. So
Do we need to do a whole section on like Pinfari roller coasters? Because do we miss Pinfari? I don't think we do.
I think Andy High mentioned this, didn't he, when we talked to him about rogue. If it's uncomfortable and it's not, it's just it's not good, is it? And any coaster like that, where you have to brace yourself for the roughest loop in the world. To be fair, it was good because it was intense.
It was intense. You couldn't even see the loop though, could you? Really? It was kind of like hidden right in the middle of the ride. And there was all this, I remember this like wooden sort of, you know, mine kind of theming up around it. You couldn't really tell that it looped until you were in it. And then, oh God,
It was literally so intense. It's like, and it's so funny, like looking at pictures of it, because it literally looks like the car is literally just fits. This little mine cart just fits in the loop.
barely goes.
But then I never liked G-Force either, and it just
G-Force
felt.
was terrible.
And just, I think it's because I don't like being held upside down, because I get those intrusive thoughts, sorry, of I don't want to be, if this chain stops and I'm stuck upside down, I think that's why I did it a couple of times and that was it. Because, you know, it's another reason I'm not a big fan of vertical lift hills, because it's a similar sort of thing. If it's like this, I do not want to stop here. But it wasn't very good. It wasn't great. But it just felt like Drayton were obviously trying. They were really still trying. They were trying to kind of compete with a market that, once Merlin had taken over, you know, Thorpe Park was getting, during that kind of time, you had Colossus,
Colossus,
Nemesis Inferno, Stealth, Saw, and then obviously, you know, the Swarm were all kind of put in, and at Towers you'd got Air and
13.
Rita, 13, Smiler, Wicker Man, all in that kind of time. They were really struggling to kind of compete with what Merlin were also then investing in.
And it had a really small, like, if
But
you never rode the Klondike mine train or you'd never had the pleasure of a Pinfari looping coaster, like literally off the shelf, again, Roller Coaster Tycoon, I'll buy one of those, I'll put that there. You know, it was tiny. Its little, its footprint was so small. So they took out what was, you know, a roller coaster that went upside down. And I think they thought, we need to replace that with a roller coaster that goes upside down. Because again, the park didn't really know what it was and it was still trying to appeal to thrill seekers. And how do you fit in a looping coaster in the world's smallest coaster footprint? You put in one of these Maurer coasters where the lift hill is also the loop. And then it
It's a
fits.
waste of a loop. It's just
But
a waste.
it also made for like the most weird ride experience ever. And the reliability of that thing was just dreadful. Like, sure, it must have been closed more than
And
it
it
was
was the
open.
fact they want to create like this kind of rave atmosphere with all the techno and
Oh my
kind of
God,
music and, you
the
know, try and create
station.
this.
If you didn't get a banging headache from the lift hill loop, you got it from the queue line instead.
And it was sad because Shockwave was already uncomfortable anyway. You know, by a certain
By that
point,
point,
you know, it wasn't comfortable. And I certainly didn't go back to Drayton Manor for G-Force. It's not
No.
the reason I went back. I mean, most of the time I went back was for nostalgia and Apocalypse as well. You know, once these rides that I'd grown up with as a kid were closing, there were coasters that were rough, whereas I could literally go not that far and get to Alton Towers and go on Nemesis. compare it to that. And you know, we talk about The Haunting and we had Hex. It was
Yeah.
kind of like Alton Towers went, hold my
Just
beer. I'm going to show you how to make a madhouse ride. This is how you do it. I know there'll probably be people maybe out there who preferred The Haunting in its original theme to Hex. But I didn't like what they did to The Haunting either. When they tried to change it because they thought, well, it's been like this for, you know, so many years, let's put a vampire theme, because of course we went through this phase of vampires are in, so we had to, you know, let's make it vampire themed. Just same with Jewel when they rethemed the haunted house, and it's now okay, let's put zombies in because zombies are the in thing, you know. And it was the same with Jewel, because it was like, okay, I'm quite excited, what are the park gonna do? They're gonna, you know, invest into, you know, redo it. It's slightly aging, so what are we gonna do? But then they did something that you were like, oh, I preferred the original thing, because the vampire thing was just silly. And so you got all this going on at the time. And it was like, there were so many things that I was looking at going, I miss it when it was like this. And that was the problem with Drayton. I only went because it was more, I remember when this, you know, this ride. I even, you know, the fact to go on the Buffalo Coaster, because it reminded me of the one at American Adventure.
I think we can't, downplay how hard it must have been for them at the time, how challenging it was when, they were this little family run park, which suddenly had a few big hits on its hands. It grew exponentially, and that they were putting in these big things. And then Alton Towers, like you said, hold my beer, got, but, Two Swords sold out to Merlin, and Merlin just went crazy with everything. And Drayton Manor were kind of behind running, going, oh God, now what do we do next?
And they'd also set an expectation. That's what Drayton Manor had done, was they'd built a really good reputation. Let's like we're not let's not forget that you know, they were competing quite nicely. But I think they just got to a certain point where the money just couldn't compete with other parks. You know, even Blackpool, I suppose, was still successful because they were able to, you know, build on the history that they had.
Well, people were still talking about the big one, and people still talk about the big one, and no one was talking about Shotwave anymore, because in 1994 it was a great, wow, a stand-up roller coaster, that's amazing. And by the late, as you were getting up to the 2010s, it was like, yeah, I've kind of been there, done that. It's quite
And there's a reason why there are
uncomfortable.
no stand-up coasters anymore.
Yeah,
Yeah, there's a
exactly.
reason why feedback was always negative.
Interestingly, around this time, I was working for a radio station in Birmingham who we had a really, really good relationship with Drayton Manor. And we every year would do like a listener day there. So we'd give away thousands and thousands of tickets, and we'd take over the park for the whole day,
Oh,
and
wow.
all our listeners would come to it. And the listeners would go crazy for winning tickets to go to Drayton Manor. Like around Birmingham, the West Midlands at the time, it was still huge. It was a massive thing, and people still loved it. I think what it probably wasn't doing was attracting so many people from outside that area, and that's what it was struggling with. But the park were very they were still very keen to like do stuff which got people talking about them. So we did a world record thing with the Dodgems, where it was like the longest time anyone had stayed on the Dodgems for, and we had our like breakfast show guys just on the Dodgems for like 24 hours literally. And
That's
I don't know
mad.
if you remember at the time, all the radio station was called Free Radio, and we had it all branded up around that. And we were also not many people know this, but we were also in talks with serious talks with the park at one point about us taking a sponsorship of Apocalypse and
No.
renaming it to
Oh my goodness.
Freefall, because we were Free Radio.
Wow.
There was even talk
Wow.
about painting it green, because our radio station colors were like bright
And how
green.
close did that get then?
I wouldn't say we were close to like signing the
Okay.
paper, but there were several meetings about it. It
Oh,
wasn't
right.
like
Okay.
here's a crazy idea, what do you think? No, like there was some serious meetings, because for them, I think at the time it was how do we get exposure for ourselves? And one of the ways, if you work with your local radio station, normally that costs you thousands and thousands and thousands of pounds to be on the radio station. Whereas if you can go, right, well, you guys want exposure, we want exposure, we kind of do a nice little deal with each other. You take our ride and put your name all over it, and in return, you give us loads of free advertising on your radio station. These kind of deals get done. So I think that was kind of their thoughts at the time of, well, maybe this might be something. It didn't end up happening. And I know there's probably a few people in the theme park enthusiast community who would have died if Apocalypse had been renamed to Freefall.
Freefall,
it was free colon fall.
Yeah, that's a good job it stayed, isn't it?
And this was all around this time, so I think, you know, they were trying to work out what can we do to sort of stay relevant and get people talking about us, and you know, what they had all these crazy ideas, and things kind of started going wrong. And I think it was around that time they put in, do you remember that like Go Ape style like upcharge attraction that they had next to the car park that was there for a while, and it was called Vertigo, and you had to pay extra for it. And I don't know, you'd go to a theme park, it's like, why am I going to spend my time doing Go Ape? Like, and it's not even Go Ape because there's no trees, it's just kind
it
of
was just
there.
Yeah, it was just there. Yeah, it was just literally there.
And I think it was a
just
cash
a lot
grab.
Of financially bad decisions. I know in 2020 they had all the storm damage, and there was a fire, and the park had then gone into administration.
Yeah, that, and it was 2020. Obviously, COVID was hitting all of us, and all the theme parks in the UK were like, okay, none of us are opening. And we, you know, we would have thoughts of who is going to come out of this unscathed. And I think Drayton Manor was certainly high on my list. I guess it was on yours as one that it's like,
I was genuinely concerned, I think, towards that time period where, you know, visitor numbers were clearly obviously going down. Nothing really new was really going in, and it just needed a, you know, I'd always felt sorry for the Bryan family, because like I said, you know, in the 80s and 90s they put so much love and care into that park. It was something that, you know, was, you know, so much a part of their lives. And I'm glad that the family is still actually involved in the park as its current form.
They brought out a book as well. Have you got the book?
The book's
quite interesting.
The book's, it's an interesting interesting read about, obviously, their how they went through, you know, going from just being a family fun park to having the zoo and then going to a theme park and, you know, and all these sorts of things. And I'm pleased that it did get bought out. You don't always want family parks to happen, because you don't know what the company are going to do to it. But I'm really pleased at what they have done to it, because I think it's kept a lot of what made Drayton special.
So this was obviously 2020. We were worried it wasn't going to see itself out of the pandemic. And then, it did go into administration, and it was the Loopings Group who bought it. And they're quite a giant in the European park world. They, you know, the parks they own aren't huge, but they've got quite a lot of them. They've got 19 parks. They own like Isla Magica in Seville, which is one of the parks that we mentioned on the Blackpool episode that you can get free entry to with your Blackpool Pleasure Beach annual pass. So that's interesting that they've kind of worked with them. And they're like installing a new family Woody and stuff. It's like, this is a group which is investing in its parks, and they've got lots of them. So they're clearly ambitious, and they clearly want to go somewhere. And I think them buying Drayton Manor, and they've also got West Midlands Safari Park, which, you know, if you're in the Midlands, they're not a million miles away at all. They're two parks which
you can get passes as well.
You
get passes, can't you, that you can use them at both parks, can't you? So
it was a good,
really good
option, I think, to buy the park. And obviously since 2020 they have begun this program of investment, which they've obviously had some tough decisions, but I really respect that they've got a vision for where they want to go, and everything they're doing seems to tie in with that, even if it's a hard decision to make, and a decision which amongst people like us isn't going to be the most popular, because actually at the end of the day, we aren't the most important people. You know, we enthusiasts are such a small part of people who visit theme parks. They've got to appeal to the general public, and the general public have to understand what they are, and that's kind of what they've done. So since 2020, like you said, what have we had? We started off with the Vikings area that started getting teased, with the Buffalo Coaster kind of area. Yeah, I think that was the first major new, fully branded area that the park had had in years.
Yeah, this is a Viking themed area, and this is the entrance bit. These are the rides in it. You know, family rides, and we kept the Buffalo Coaster.
Thank goodness. You'd have
you
been
know,
sad about
but
that.
in,
But it
yeah,
fits,
absolutely.
doesn't it?
But
But
Loki is a really good family ride as well. You know,
that's the
there's
one that like confuses your brain when you watch
yes, yeah. It's like, how does that even work? What is this witchcraft?
it.
I think that was at the point where I then, you know, noticed
Yeah.
Drayton again
Well,
and
they.
went, oh, I was like, oh, hang on. This is looking interesting. What are they doing here? And then you want to go, I need to go visit.
And it was around this time they kind of rebranded as Drayton Manor Resort as well. So they'd always been like Drayton Manor Park or Drayton Manor Park and Zoo. And then now it's obviously Drayton Manor Resort, which we talked about with Blackpool, whether the resort thing is always good. I think for Drayton Manor, it can absolutely work because of where it is. It, you know, it's got not a lot super close to it. It can be its own little world, just outside of Tamworth. And it's obviously got hotels and stuff. And I think, you know, I think it being a resort can work for them, and this whole themed area seemed to go hand in hand with that. So you had the Vikings area, and that was a, you know, it was a big hit, and everyone was really impressed with it. Even enthusiasts went and said they've done a really good job with this. They haven't just said we're putting in a Vikings area and here's a couple of fiberglass Vikings. Like it is a well themed area. And then of course there was the news about Shockwave, which I honestly didn't expect. I genuinely thought what would happen with Shockwave, as you saw that they were going down this very family route, is it was going to get ripped down.
Genuinely.
I never thought in a million years that what they're going to do is turn it into a sit-down coaster and they're going to lower the height limit so that it kind of taps into that family, you know,
Because I guess
feel.
they knew they could do that. Whereas with Rise Like Apocalypse, you can't really, and there was nothing else you could do to that to kind of lower a height restriction on it.
Yeah. Only go
Whereas,
halfway up.
yeah, you can only, yeah. Oh my goodness, yeah. Wee.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, Shockwave is a better ride, in my opinion, sat down, because it's not as rough as it was. And it's also nice because it's 1.2. So if you've got children of that height, you can go on it. You know, you don't always want to have to keep splitting up from you know, in your group.
Yeah.
You know, when you're at a theme park, you want to spend the day together. And if you're able to stay together for the most of it, then it works really well. And Drayton Manor, I think, is a park now that is able to keep your group together. And yeah, you might have to still split up for a few things because someone might not want to go on the haunting because they you might not like the idea of going in the dark if you're Becca. You know, so oh, I would love to have seen have gone on that with you in 96 when you know when it first opened. Like, really do, genuinely,
You
like,
haven't been on
you
Curse
know.
of the Manor with me yet. I mean, there you go. That's a.
Exactly. So I think that's why it's doing really well.
They also didn't just go, oh yeah, we'll just stick some sit down cars on it instead. It's like it was really thought through. They thought we'll rebrand it. So rather than Shockwave, it's just The Wave, which then fits perfectly into this whole Adventure Cove area, which had kind of had its, you know, initial foundations laid with Stormforce 10 and Maelstrom. But now they've kind of, rather than just going, oh no, we'll like change all that, they've kept it and expanded it. And now it makes more sense than it ever made
And with the
because,
rapids in there as well, it all
yeah.
in you know integrates the rapids within underneath it, and you know I was you know was always enjoyed that.
And it feels really bright and welcome. It got to a point where it all felt a little bit run down around there, and the Shockwave building was looking really like tired and tatty. Whereas now, a bit of a paint job and some good installations has really given that whole area a lease of life. And it's like, wow, suddenly we've got another themed area. So we've got the Vikings area. We've now got Adventure Cove as well. And it all makes sense. Everything in that area makes sense. You've got Thomas Land. It all makes sense. And then they come out and they So yeah, and next year we're doing Frontier Falls. And it's like they're going again. They've done all this and they're going again and they're bringing out another themed area. They're putting in a brand new family coaster. And they even, you know, the one ride that was always down that end of the park, which, you know, as again, as enthusiasts, we loved, Drunken Barrels.
Oh, yes. Have we got
It
this far into the podcast and not mentioned that ride?
was just, I don't
That's a shocker.
It was
I
so
really would have
iconic.
loved someone from the Loopings group to walk past that ride and go,
Yeah,
not sure that fits with our family field market we're going for. That's a large German woman holding two pints of beer. Huh. Maybe we should retheme that one.
It's surprising that it didn't make it through the Frontier Falls retheme. But obviously it did survive with a retheme, which I'm so glad that they've kept it. I would have been sad if they took it out. And again, they've just made it work. And that area now makes sense. I suppose the one thing you've got in there is Accelerio, you know, was Ben 10. That was always a bit of a weird one. But yeah, a little family.
Maybe they've got poster. Something in mind for that.
I think that's
still part of the, it's still one of those rides from a bygone age of,
yeah,
let's just put that here. Doesn't kind of fit with anything else. So I feel like I say, you can't change everything all at once.
Yeah.
So I think eventually, I really do think that Drayton Manor could become one of the most underrated parks in the country if they carry on what they're doing and, you know, taking very good care and consideration.
I think the thing with Accelerator is obviously it's a family launch coaster, a pullback launch rather than a launch coaster. But when you've now installed a new, you know, actual family launch coaster with Gold Rush, which is really, really well done, it's kind of like Accelerator is its less good looking cousin who's kind of hanging around. And obviously the throughput on any of those like boomerang type coasters is just dreadful, which although it's on paper a great family coaster, what in my book never makes a good family attraction is anything where the queue is horrendously long because its throughput is so small, because anyone who's had to queue with a small child will just feel the pain of seeing 35 minutes even
absolutely.
I'm gonna do a job, I'm earning my keep as a parent for the next 35 minutes. So it'd be interesting to see, you know, where that goes. And then I just think generally where this park is going. For me, I do think it's underrated because of what we've said about people who would have gone to it, would have loved it, saw it declining, saw it not really getting the investment it deserved, and sort of started going, well, I'm not going to go there anymore. I'm going to go to other parks instead, and haven't been back since. So if you've not been back since pre-COVID, it's worlds apart. You know, the park has changed so much.
I mean, Gold Rush is a really good coaster. I love the idea of having different cycles. It's such a clever thing to have on a coaster is that, you know, you can have it go, you know, a certain way, and then next time you go, it goes, does something different. Anything that forwards, backwards is great on that kind of roller coaster where you don't know which way you're going. I'm really excited to see what they're going to do next. I really am.
What's your gut instinct about, say, the zoo?
I think the zoo is a bit like, you know, sometimes forgotten about. Because it's so iconic to Drayton Manor from the early days.
For me, as a family, with it being a family park, which is a very clearly defined family park now, the thing that I do like about the zoo is it just breaks up your day a little bit when you've got little kids. And sometimes, you know, if you have been queuing or they've been doing rides and things, it's nice to just be able to go and have that little wander around. It's a bit like the gardens at Alton Towers.
Yeah.
When you're a thrill seeker,
you're not going to do it. You're just not going.
But when you've got little kids, you do need that sometimes, like half an hour of, let's just go and have a little walk around the zoo. Let's go and see the pandas.
I love red pandas. They're my favourite. So, you know, I'm there.
But also, if you consider, you know, if you are a family and you go for a day out at the zoo, you know, the standalone zoo, Chester Zoo, Twycross, wherever, that is an expensive day out to just go to the zoo. So again, when we're talking about Drayton being underrated, the fact that you pay this price and you get Thomas Land and all these family attractions, but you also get a zoo. It is a massive footprint in the park. You know, let's not shy away.
You've got the dinosaur land bit, haven't you, as well, that's attached to that, so you've got all of that there as well.
I imagine looking after zoo animals is fairly costly as well. I don't think it's cheap, so
no,
I do think,
because you've got to pay
for
zookeepers and you've got to have all the staff that obviously help that, and that's a 24/7 job.
Yeah.
When you've got animals to take care of. So
yeah,
they might take that into consideration. But I could see a new dark ride going in.
In the Pirates?
Yeah, area. I would think, you'd think that they might be able to use that.
What about
My
the
hope
Jungle
would be that.
Cruise area? There's still, some of that
The
footprint.
Excalibur Jungle Cruise area. It's difficult, isn't it? Because what else can you do other than do another boat ride? Really? Because of,
Water
what's there. Water coaster, that's a good idea.
coaster.
Yeah.
Efteling-esque
Oh yeah,
water
that's
coaster.
yeah, absolutely. I'm all for that.
I can still be family. Doesn't have to
Yeah,
be
you can do
intense.
it, family. And as long as Thomas Land just keeps having little updates and refreshes and things, I am surprised it's lasted as long as it has, if I'm honest. Like I don't know much about, rights to IPs and stuff at theme parks. I'm not that clued in on that kind of stuff. So, but I always assumed that you'd pay for so many years
Yeah, I'd
and then
imagine
that was
so.
it. I'd be interested to see what happens to that. And going back to the haunting again, I think what I loved last year was that reintroduction of, the original pre-show video and the music audio that was from that original 1996 attraction, which again, there are videos on YouTube that you can obviously watch. And it is funny looking back now and thinking, oh, it's a bit cheesy, isn't it? Very 90s. Someone really loved Aliens as well, because that pre-show video is so Aliens-esque. Like when I was a kid, none the wiser. But once you'd watched films like Aliens, you've gone, man, the people who filmed that pre-show video were really like into like Aliens, the way they shoot them coming out the van and it's raining and they lock load the guns and all that kind of stuff. It's not always good to go back, but that's why it was nice as a one-off for the haunting to kind of go back to that.
Obviously had it all stored, like those boats from Paris. They've just got a warehouse with their old stuff just ready at
Yep.
any point to surprise us and bring it back. They'll bring back that do you remember the steamboat that used to be on the lake? It was like a little weird sort of fun house.
So
That'll just
random,
pop
yeah.
up. That'll be a great scare attraction though.
That would. And, we've not mentioned the pirate ship as well, because the pirate ship at Drayton was so good because it's literally on the water,
Yeah, you can really get that feeling that you are, over the
yeah.
water.
Oh, it's good, great.
And
Although I'm not a big
again,
fan of pirate ships,
no,
but
I'm not a fan of pirate ships.
terrifying when I fly out, when it goes up in the air. But anyway.
I do think that, your hopes and dreams for a themed dark ride, piratey. I think that I can see that happening because you have got what they've done really well is take an area which was kind of semi-themed or not very themed at all, and they've turned them into very well themed areas. That pirates area is kind of 25% of the way there already, isn't it? Like you say, the pirate ship, the little like boaty spinny round thing, which is always a lot more intense than it actually looks. And then if
Yes.
you've already got this like show building, which was a pirate ride,
Yeah.
like it just to me makes perfect sense to just go all in on pirates in that area. I'm really excited about Drayton Manor. I'm really excited about where it's going. I think it's been bought by a great group. I hope they keep a hold of it. Let's also not forget that they have done loads of events during 2024. They've kind of gone all out. We talked on the Alton Towers episode about them pulling back a bit and really just doing Scarefest and a little bit of
Yeah.
Oktoberfest, but much more scaled down. Drayton Manor have done like absolutely loads.
Yeah.
They were open at half term. They did a Thomas Land Easter thing. They had like a whole thing over the summer. They did a Vikings festival. They've had
Yeah.
Halloween fireworks and they're doing their Christmas Wonderland event, which is very magical, very special. If
Yeah.
you've got little kids and you want a little, winter
It's
theme park
really
day
good.
out,
Yeah.
amazing for them. So
Yeah,
Thomas Land
really
is going to
good.
be open for that. And some of the other rides, so it's not just Thomas Land's. So whereas at Towers, it's kind of when they do their Christmas events, I think you usually get to go into CBeebies Land. They've also got Gold Rush's open, Accelerator's open. Blazing
Yeah.
Barrels. I wanted to give it its old name.
Yeah, Blasting Barrels
Blasting
is
Barrels.
open. Yeah. Not Drunken Barrels,
Not
no.
Drunken Barrels,
Not at our
sadly.
park anymore. Sorry.
No, that's
Where
not.
is the model?
It
I'm
was
just I'm
on the
I'm I'm
bonfire at the
consider I was
fireworks
are you
night.
sure? I'm sure no one's tried to nab it. It's in someone's house
It's
somewhere.
in it's in Theme Park Worldwide's World of Theme Parks, I'm sure. That's going to be his next vlog series. Let me recreate this.
Retrieving the German high German lady.
Also at Christmas, the zoo's open, which we talked about. Yeah. So that's just go for a day out at the zoo. Why not? Mm. You get a few bonus rides and they've got entertainment and music. And it's not 365 opening, but they are open pretty much every weekend between now and Christmas.
Yeah. And they're obviously confident that, you know, it's working.
So, yeah, well done, you guys. We love it. We love what's happening with Drayton Manor. We love that the park got saved. And not only got saved, I think it's really massively turned a corner and it's got a very clear direction. Yes, for us theme park enthusiasts who are adults, it's not the park that it used to be in terms of big thrills or anything like that. But in terms of a themed park, which has got a good quality range of attractions. And I think the most important thing is direction. It's got such good direction, which we talk about on this podcast a lot about parks, not quite knowing what they're doing with stuff. It's really, really good to see. And in terms of value, I think, you know, you'll pay less to go to Drayton Manor for a day than you will at Blackpool. If you've got little kids, you've got all these attractions and you've got the zoo. Yeah. It's a good one. Is it the most underrated park in the UK? Not quite sure. It's definitely one of them. I think
it's going there.
If you haven't been back to it since before COVID, it probably is because it's a whole different place. So definitely worth a visit.
Yep.
Okay, that's about it for this week's episode. Thank you again for listening. Thanks for listening to the podcast at all. If you've checked out any of our other episodes, it's really good to have you along on this little adventure with us. And we love doing this. And we're going to continue to do it all over winter as well. So the parks might be closing, but we're still going to be here bringing you some good theme park chat. Until next week, park fans, we've been Parkcast.
Parkcast. The UK's original theme park podcast.